Man, if Jesus Christ is God Almighty and He has died for you, if Jesus Christ is risen for you, then there is hope in Him. There can be forgiveness with Him, life with Him as we let Him take charge. Are you willing to let God have your soul? God, take over. Whatever you say, you're in charge.
More of Him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea. I wanna be completely His.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. Jesus' resurrection assures us that we can experience victory over sin through His forgiveness. It's something to be marveled at. If you have your Bible, we are in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11 for part 2 of the message, Victory Over Sin. Here's Pastor Tim.
God knows exactly what He's doing. God knows exactly where He's headed. And Jesus Christ knows exactly what's coming. Him for me. He loves you. He died for you. And He did it with great purpose and knowledge. The angel's like, don't you remember? It says, now back to Luke 24, and they remembered His words. Isn't it amazing how God brings those things to bear, where all of a sudden things we've heard in the past, scripture that we may have known, things that we should have grasped and understood, and all of a sudden as He starts to breathe out some truth to us, all of a sudden we grasp the word, the aha moment, where all of a sudden we get it maybe more than ever before. It says they remembered His words. What would you do next after you remember His words? Right? At least probably right there, some kind of high five moment, whatever that was in their culture, right? Some kind of, this is amazing. And then the first thing is like, well, we're going back. We got to tell some people about this, right? You're going after it with all you've got. And it says, and they remembered His words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. They shared it. It was not a secret they kept. It wasn't something they privately mused on. They brought the message in a huge way. Jesus Christ is risen. Man, we have to grasp this. In our world, death is so tangible. Pain is so palpable. Sin is so regular. And God has a plan. A plan to manage it all that we might have hope. The King of the universe has just conquered sin. Praise be to God. We have life, we have hope, we have eternity managed. Lord, may I never lose focus of this one thing. You are unbelievable, and I worship and praise You. Man, may we share Him with all we've got. And all of God's people said, amen. Man, let's get on that with everything we have. We have this privilege to take a moment to think deep about the greatness of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and hand it all to Him. How is your awe? How is your response to sharing the greatness of Jesus? Are you willing and ready anywhere and anytime to say, no, seriously, dude, He's rocking my world. I'd love to talk to you about Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I'm not even sure what I think about Jesus Christ. Welcome. It's great to have you. Please hear me. Jesus Christ, He is the King of the universe, and He has died on the cross for our sins and risen again. He is risen. And all of God's people said, first thing, He is risen, share it. Second, He is risen, marvel at it. He is risen, marvel at it. It says, now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with Him who told these things to the apostles. He's like, let me define what women were there. And I just want you to know this is super important. The list of these names is powerful right here. In fact, if you go back to Luke chapter 8, you don't have to do that right now, but this is the front end of Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 8, and it uses some names of women that are there. And it says there was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. These are women, it says, who were suffering from illnesses and demonic possession. There were some weird things going on, dark things going on. They were wrestling. They were hurting. In fact, it says Mary Magdalene had seven demons within her that Jesus ended up casting out, healed. And hear me, man. It says the next thing they did was follow Jesus Christ. They followed him. They cared for him. They provided for him. And over the years of his ministry, the bookends were Mary Magdalene and Joanna. And at the end, Mary Magdalene and Joanna. And they had the privilege of being a part of the whole of Christ's ministry here on earth. And what's the big deal with that? You know, in that culture at that time, the testimony of women was not to be the thing you went after and trusted. Women had a certain role in the culture, and God was like, yeah, we're elevating that right now. And this is a huge privilege moment. This is a moment as he says, I'm going to take some women that are deeply confused by the society, and I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to heal them, and they are going to have statement to make, and they're going to be the witnesses of my power. And as these women experience the healing within their souls, now they are able to speak out for Jesus Christ and continue to care for him. Please hear me on this. Jesus Christ loves working with the broken and the weak and lifting them up and caring for them and showing his greatness into this world. And all of God's people said, man, we serve a God who so willingly and humbly bowed down and handed it over for us. And what a privilege. And I'm just telling you, don't skid past these names. It's super important that we grasp. He's like, I cared for who society wasn't caring for. I reached out to who society wasn't reaching out to. And their lives were rocked forever. And now at the end of his ministry, he's like, I'm going to reveal to them the greatest story of all time. And they're the first to hear it. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. They're like, seriously, we were right there in the tomb. The grave was opened up. There was no Jesus. I'm telling you. And then all of a sudden, bam, man, there were like angels. And they were like, thundering in, their light was so bright, we dropped to our knees. We had no idea what to do. And then they're like, remember these words. Do you guys remember those words? And they're like talking it out. They're spilling the excitement of it. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe. And where are you at this morning? With the truth of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Are you like, I don't know, man. I'm not sure I'm with it. You know, society's tried to come up with explanations across the years. You know, the explanation like the swoon theory. That's the one where it's like, he didn't really die. I realized he was whipped really, really badly, like 39 lashes, and he was almost dead. I realized that it tore his skin wide open. I realized he was unrecognizable. It was so bad. And then they drove nails into his wrists and pounded it up and held him on the cross. I realized that. I realized that he breathed what looked like his last. I realized that. I realized they took him down, thought he was dead. I realized that. I realized they put him in a tomb and sealed it. But at the moment of all that weakness and beating and abuse and can't even recognize him, I think he stood up and opened up a tomb that really took 3 to 5 men to open and close. And he was like, got this, opens it himself. And then he's like, hey, let's walk around and talk to some people. Like, that's what I think happened. For real? Everybody just say, that's ludicrous. And I agree with you. And the swoon theory is about the silliest statement there is. And you've got to be kidding me. The level and severity of hurt and abuse on Jesus Christ was massive and witnessed by many. And man, there's only one answer. he is risen from the dead. And there were others that were like, well, maybe the disciples were like faking it in some way. The disciples, you mean, who ended up giving their lives for this lie? The disciples who put themselves on the line year after year, moment after moment, saying, he is risen, he's alive, this is for real. Man, this wasn't some sham. This was a moment where they were utterly, absolutely convinced. I'm telling you, there are 500 plus witnesses. He is risen. The problem that has to be dealt with is the crucifixion was certain. And the problem that has to be dealt with is the resurrection is certain. And the apostles were like, I barely get this. It says, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. They'd actually been taken off and folded up and set aside as if to say, not going to need these anymore. This is done. And they saw the cloths laying there. Peter actually was able to celebrate in that moment prayerfully. It says he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Marveling. You know, that's where you're doing this. Unbelievable. Your jaw is wide open. There's a half smile on your face. You're like, I can't. Now all of a sudden you're remembering the words. He did say he was going to rise again. He did say 3 days and then. He is risen from the dead. This is amazing. And man, I'm telling you, his walk got faster. Do you know what I'm saying? You're walking back home and you're thinking about it. And as you're getting convinced of it, you're starting to speed it up. You're like, I got to talk to somebody about this. And you're getting amped on it as you marvel at, as you awe in, as you worship Jesus Christ for who he is. Man, he's embracing the truth. He's thinking of his greatness. And he's stunned by the miracle. His soul is celebrating. Praise be to God. Man, we serve a God who gives us hope and a reason to marvel along the way. You know, this past week has been spring break. And so a number of people out on vacations in different ways. And my daughter Alyssa actually had a chance to go down to Florida. And she ended up taking a break down there with her friend. And they stayed at her friend's grandparents' place down there and did a little bit of traveling around there and got to go to Disney World and that kind of thing. And we texted back and forth and FaceTimed throughout the week, little bits here and there. And she was having a great time. And she was going to take her flight home on Thursday night. It was actually supposed to get home late Thursday, and then we were going to do Good Friday services together and then be here this morning at 9 o'clock for service. So she goes to the airport. She's there way early, which is kind of list. She loves to be there early for things. She was sitting back just relaxing, waiting for the plane for a couple of hours and reading a book, and then things delayed. There was weather rolling through Atlanta, and she had to pick up a connecting flight in Atlanta and delayed again. She finally gets on the plane, and it finally gets off the ground, and it's flying. And as this plane is flying, and we're watching the time crunch, she only had like 40 minutes in her layover there in Atlanta to be able to connect flights, right? And so we're watching the time window just collapsing down. And Jonna and I are sitting on the couch. Jonna found a website where you can type in Delta and you get the airline. Now you can watch the plane traveling across the U.S. And it's showing a picture. And all of a sudden, the plane goes and starts going this way. It's like, no, you're going the wrong way, right? It starts going out and then down. Now it's heading back. And I'm like, oh, no. What happened, right? Now it turns. And I'm like, the pilot is doing loop-de-loops over Georgia. What is going on, right? And he turns it back again, and it ends up, he was letting this nasty storm front blow through Atlanta and get past, and he was delaying out there doing a loop, and then he was coming in, and now we're watching the clock get ever, ever closer. And she hits the ground, and she's like, landed. And then we could hear somebody saying something over the phone while she had her phone on that said something along the lines of, we're not going to be able to get to our gate. We're having to wait for the next plane. Now she's waiting even longer. And we're like, she's down to 5 minutes. And all of a sudden we get to, she's out of the plane. She's running. She's running, and it says, and the plane has now taken off. And she gets there, and she's like, nope, I missed it. So my 19-year-old daughter is now in Atlanta and missed the last flight home to Peoria. You could hear a little bit of nervousness in her, but she loves to travel too, so she was like, challenge, I'll take it on. And so she goes up to the desk, and she's like, hey, I need a flight to Peoria. And they're like, there's nothing till tomorrow morning. She's like, can you put me up in a hotel? And they're like, yes, how old are you? And she said, 19. And they're like, hey, just so you know, we can't check anyone into a hotel that's under 21. I don't know if, I never heard that rule before. So they're like, we have this room that you have to stay in for 24 hours for minors. It's locked. You get food, but it's locked up and protected. Can you imagine? Liz is like, sounds creepy. Don't want to do it, right? Not going there, whatever I do, right? And she ends up saying to him, hey, is there anything else? She talks to him again. They end up giving her a voucher to this hotel in the area. So she ends up getting in this tram. It takes like 20 minutes. She finally gets over there. She gets to the hotel. She walks in, and she's on FaceTime with us, and she's like, okay, I'm here. This is literally... Wow. This is nice, right? She goes up. She hands him the voucher. No problem whatsoever. They take her up to her room. She gets in her room, and she walks in, and she goes, whoa, this is sweet. And then about 5 minutes later, I got a text from her that said something like, okay, I'm kind of having fun, right? And I'm just telling you, that's kind of the role of Marvel, is in the beginning, it's dread. I can't believe what's going on. I don't want to be dealing with this. And then all of a sudden, you see the fantastic on the backside of it, and you're like, never mind! This is amazing! And that's exactly where Peter was. He was in total dread. He's like, I can't believe this! They've taken my Lord! 3 days later, I can't believe this! He has risen from the dead, man! Now we just got to find him and talk to him a little bit. This is amazing. Praise be to God. Marvel. Jesus Christ is risen. And all of God's people said, amen. Man, may we get this. He is risen. Share it. He is risen. Marvel at it. And how is your celebration? How is your marvel? Make sure you're in awe of Jesus Christ and his power. And number three. Make sure that you go after experiencing the victory over sin through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. Hope in Jesus Christ. It says here, we're going to jump to verse 44, okay? Everybody jump to verse 44. There's some things that are happening in between, but I wanted to make sure we closed with some words from Jesus here. So verse 44, it says, then he said to them, these are my words. Everybody say that's a big deal. Yeah, I agree with you. Jesus' words on the whole topic, right? These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. I'm telling you, God's got a plan, and this whole thing was purposed. God knows exactly what he's doing. It says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Man, was that a lesson in the Bible that day. To be able to grasp the depths of the various facets of Old Testament and how it pointed to Jesus Christ and his greatness. It says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross and he rose again that we might have forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. Man, please hear me. This isn't something that just happens by accident. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us exactly how. It says, man, it's not easy, but it's as simple as A, B, C. A, admit, and I am a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior, I am not perfect, I do not have this down. Lord, I know I have come up short, I am not perfect. And hopefully that's easy for you to understand and get. And right, if not, just talk to your neighbor or your family member And they'll let you know how true that is, that you're not perfect, right? And you're like, seriously, this is pretty easy one to grasp. I don't have it together. God, please forgive me. And B, believe that he is risen from the dead. Believe that he is risen from the dead. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is risen? That's what's required to be saved. And then it says, last one, confess him as Lord. Admit you're a sinner, believe he is risen, and confess he's in charge of your life. You take over. Man, if Jesus Christ is God Almighty and he has died for you, if Jesus Christ is risen for you, then there is hope in him. There can be forgiveness with him, life with him, as we let him take charge. Are you willing to let God have your soul? God, take over. Whatever you say, you're in charge. And that's saved. It says here that we literally can proclaim his name and we can find forgiveness of sins as we repent. Done with the sin, on with our Savior. Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross for me. That's my hope. Jesus Christ risen from the dead, guaranteeing life. We have hope with him. It says, and behold, which means, right? And check it out, he says. I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Everybody just say, that's the Holy Spirit. Right? That's the Holy Spirit. He's like, just so you know, you're not walking this walk alone. There's not forgiveness of sins and then good luck. Like the Holy Spirit with you and the hope of God with you. It says, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power. That would be a nice day, right? To be able to feel the difference of weak and then fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. Clothed with power. Please hear me. You are not called to walk this walk on this earth alone. You are called to walk it with your King, Jesus Christ. There is hope in him, and there is life in him. Miracle-working power. As he heals us, as he forgives us, as he transforms us, as the Holy Spirit is changing us, one degree of glory at a time. He convicts, he leads, he takes us to our knees at times. But hear me, God doing a work in you. Are you in? Admitting I'm a sinner, believing he is risen from the dead and confessing him as in charge of your life. God, take over. Man, hear me. That's saved. Life and life eternal. We serve the risen Savior. And all of God's people said, here's the deal, man. It's too easy to hear those kinds of words and be able to go, how true. And then we just kind of go on our way. And so our job here as we close out today, our job is to be able to lift up the name of Jesus Christ with all we've got.
Thank you for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. If you're interested in hearing or viewing today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.harvestpeoria.org. If you've been impacted by this message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Again, that email address is completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Harvest Bible Chapel is located at 401 Cimarron Drive in East Peoria. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to join us for one of our services, Sunday mornings at 9 and 11, and Sunday afternoon at 4:30. For more information on Harvest Bible Chapel, please visit us online at www.harvestpeoria.org. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we seek to be completely His.